Who was on your creed, Yaja?
How do you know our names?
Answer. Who is on your creed?
Who are you?
I am Gus Marshall. You're going to do as I say and answer my questions.
What do you want from me? How long are you going to keep me here?
For a moment, Marshall sat in silence, looking Yaja up and down. The more elegantly dressed man scowled at the interruption.
Your men, no doubt, Marshall.
With a grimace of irritation, Marshall hefted himself to his feet from behind the desk littered with papers and walked heavily over to the faded green door. Three thugs in wool caps and bulky coats seemed to have charge of a bandy-legged little guy with a shaved head and dark beard. The man wore a black T-shirt with a skull and crossbones and the words, "Kill 'em all, let God sort 'em out," over baggy forest-pattern camouflage pants. The blood drained out of the captive's face at the sight of the big man.
What?
We caught Dobbs robbing stores from the pantry again, sir.
You don't feed us enough. It's my bloody metabolism. I can't help it.
The elegantly dressed man now rose as well, stepping closer to the doorframe and the now shaking Dobbs.
Charles. You know we have rules here.
It's not fair, Mr. Sullen. You're supposed to bloody feed us decent. It's in the contract.
Marshall jerked his head sideways, and the three men responded by hustling Dobbs into the office, crowding the space. Yaja backed up against a metal table with a derelict-looking coffee machine on it. Nobody was paying much attention to her, which suited her fine. She entertained the thought of bolting for it, but quickly kicked it to her mental curb. There was no place to go, even for a youthful genius who loved spy flicks.
Your contract was quite explicit, Charles. You get a fixed ration. We are totally dependent upon supplies brought by boat or helicopter, in case you have forgotten.
When I signed, I didn't know it was going to be that small.
There have been budget cutbacks. There is a recession.
Recession? But the price of bloody...
Enough!
Yes, Mr. Marshall.
Hold out your hand.
What?
Dobbs looked blank. Befuddlement momentarily overwhelmed his visual terror of the big man. Marshall held out a hand that looked as if it had been carved from stone.
Your hand, Dobbs. Let me read your palm.
Superstitious nonsense.
Dobbs held out his upturned hand toward Marshall as eagerly as he would have thrust it into an open furnace. Marshall wrapped it in one of his, as if he were a father making sure his young son had washed up properly before dinner. A bratwurst forefinger traced lines above the Englishman's palm.
You see, Dobbs, your lifeline is not very long. You should shape up. You aren't living right.
So me mum always tells me.
And you see here, it also shows you're due for some misfortune in the very near future.
Story of me life. Look, Mr. Marshall, I'm really sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. I'll pay the chopper boys to bring me in some nosh next trip.
Yes, you will, Dobbs. You will. Take him to the doctor and get that splinted.
You sadistic clown. What do you think you're playing at, Marshall?
Marshall shrugged as he lumbered back to his cracked black vinyl swivel chair behind the desk.
You've got to make an example every now and then. Fundamental management.
Our principal pays for a Harvard MBA for you, and this is what you learn?
Pretty much. Granted, I have my own little ways of implementing the principles, but they're right in line with mainstream concepts.
How are we supposed to keep good help if you do that sort of thing?
Marshall shot Sulin a snaggle-toothed grin and settled deeper into his chair.
What can I say? I like ruling by fear. I guess you probably like to love 'em and turtle-dove 'em. Myself, I find that if every once in a while I show them what happens to somebody who makes mistakes, their productivity soars. Anyway, the thought of trying to find another job that pays this well in this economy, now that's fear.
Sulin glared at Marshall for a moment longer, then shook his head and turned his violet gaze back to Yaja.
So, back to the subject of your friend, Miss Creed.
How do you know her names anyway?
Before she died, one of your pals at the dig talked to our people. They had to use a little persuasion on her, but don't worry, she didn't suffer long.
I hope I leave to see you get shot in the balls and fall to your death.
Well, that'd take a pretty unlikely set of circumstances, little girl. You'd better be ready to nurse a grudge through several reincarnations.
Enough of this nonsense, Marshal. Yasha, tell us what you know of Anya Creed.
I think she is some kind of special force operator. Possibly a cyborg.
For all we know, you're telling the truth. We have received some very curious reports from our agents who have had the misfortune of encountering her. It may be that yours is as good an explanation as anyone else's.
Oh, that's baloney, Sulin. Those clowns are just making up stories because they don't want to admit they got whipped by a woman.
Surely they realize the consequences of lying about a matter of such import.
And here your heart just bled all over me because I busted some limey slacker's pinky finger.
We all must have our standards, I suppose. I suppose that we at least agree that those standards must be enforced.
Of course. Otherwise, we got anarchy.
And speaking of standards, Yasha, you smell revolting. Have you not been permitted to use the showers? We've given explicit orders you be allowed your privacy.
Why bother with such trivial details?
Because other people have got noses, sweetie.
Go and clean yourself before I decide to scrub you myself.
I might like that.
That's not the idea, my dear. If that's the way you feel, I'll make Marshall do it instead.
That'd be fun for me.
You wouldn't!
Rape you? No, not technically. But there are plenty of things I could do that wouldn't leave a mark, at least visibly.
For perhaps the first time in her life, Yaja found herself speechless, the situation suddenly seeming more dangerous than even before. It occurred to her for the first time that things could easily end with her being hurt. She could feel her spirit and courage withering by the moment.
And Yasha, remember, we're on the clock here. It's just ticking away, and once it runs out, all bets are off.
Unless, of course, Anya Creed is really your friend. Perhaps she's looking to save you right now.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.